Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Jeff Calkins is a columnist at the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Conveniently located on X, Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good. I haven't seen if The Athletic has a story yet up about potential replacements for Mike Gundy. Have you seen yet those lists?
I have not. I'm sure that will be out probably in the next couple of hours. I have not seen it yet. Are you what? You bringing this up because you feel like a certain someone here in the city may be listed among those names?
I think he will start to appear on those lists, right? Like I said this morning, whatever, people can debate Ryan or not Ryan or whatever. He's obviously done a good job at Memphis, and hopefully this is his best year ever. The market has proven in previous years that he was not. You know, he was not a hot commodity on the market. He just wasn't. Otherwise, he would have gotten job offers. Now, I do think I've already seen it, right? I think some of it's the longevity, the fact that he's consistently good every year, I think has to be impressive to people. B, the fact that he very clearly, a few years ago, occasionally you'd hear him sort of complaining about the new environment, he's 100% adjusted. And yes, he has lots of resources, but it feels like he uses them very effectively. Like he knows how to operate, you know, unlike a lot of coaches we're seeing, including Mike Gundy, he knows how to operate it apparently in this revenue sharing NIL world. And then obviously where they are right now, accomplishing what they accomplished and having that win the way they did. I'll be shocked now if he isn't. I don't know if he's going to be on this list, but I would think so, honestly. Like I think, and I don't know if you'd put him on a Florida list, but when a place like Oklahoma State comes up, I'll be surprised if he's not on those lists.
Yeah, but, with anything less than Florida, I think you have to really give a thought.
That's a separate question.
Yeah, but
whether
like
he would take it. Yeah,
to really give a thought. Memphis or Oklahoma State? Memphis or Virginia Tech? Although I did see Virginia Tech is planning on pouring $229 million into their athletic department. That may change the calculus a little bit, or, you know, Memphis or UCLA. Like, I feel like you have to really think about that in this day and age.
That's a separate question. A, will he be on the list is the first question.
Sure.
And B, would he take it? I think you're right. And the way Jeffrey put it today was, you have to look under the hood for all these places, right? You have to say, okay, what are the resources going to be? Now, to some extent, sometimes you just say, like, does Justin Fuente, maybe you know this, does he regret taking the Virginia Tech job?
No, I don't think he does at all.
Because he gets a check, you know?
Well, and he made plenty of money, and now by the time we're in this revenue-sharing NIL transfer portal era, he doesn't want to be in it anymore, so he made his money.
So some of it is literally, sometimes the check that you can get at one place is just so much bigger that even may not look so great under the hood, but you have to take it, right? But I think you're right. You have to I mean, the idea of the UCLA job just seems like hell to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
Nobody cares about it. There's not enough resources. I mean, literally, if you have a good player or a good coordinator, USC comes and takes them from across. Like, it just seems like hell. That would have to be a mighty big check. But I don't, again, without looking, you know, I don't see why Oklahoma State shouldn't be as well resourced as almost any other school in the Big 12, right?
But
why should that place not have, you know, not be able to?
I remember hearing about T. Boone Pickens growing up every damn week watching Big 12 football.
It is an interesting question, though. Like we can look and you wonder, you know, Memphians felt sick, I think appropriately, when Cincinnati left and Houston left and UCF left, right? Mm-hmm. And you wonder if those fan bases are having more fun where they are now. But you also wonder, like, are those jobs in the Big 12 now better jobs than Memphis is in the American? You know, once upon a time, you know, those jobs, I think, in the American, when they were all in American, would have been, you know, probably better jobs than the Memphis job. But I don't know. Are those jobs better jobs? So much of this is about how big a check you're getting relative to the people you have to beat. And Ryan is getting more resources than the people he has to beat.
Yes.
You know?
Correct.
And that's not true at UCLA.
And they can still pony up some money. You look around the conference, John Sumrall's making a nice, you know, $6 million check from Tulane. You know, you look at who's the guy at UTSA? Jeff Traylor's got $5 million. Like, these schools, while they can't pay you the $10 million there plus that you can get at some of these power conference jobs, they can be somewhat competitive, and you can still win along the way and meet certain requirements in your contract where you can get bonuses.
It'll be really interesting to see how the job search stuff plays out this summer as people, as coaches look at all this stuff, you know, as they size
right.
it all up.
Since you brought up the Mike Gundy thing, what do you think about Oklahoma State? I mean, kind of unceremonious. Spent 35 years there as a player, as an assistant, then as the head football coach. 21. This was his 21st year. They have never seen this level of success. He only had a losing record in his first and his last season. He had 18 straight bowl games, 18 straight winning seasons. Before he took over as head coach, they had 4 winning seasons in 16 years. Like, maybe it has to do with the buyout by the end of the year being less and they wanted to do right by him there, but it just, to me, seems very unceremonious for a guy who gave you that many good years.
Some of this is you wonder what's happening. Like, in other words, did they approach him and say, listen, we can do this the easy way or the hard way? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, in other words, maybe he wasn't giving him anything. You know, I don't know. Like, maybe he wasn't.
I like, did see him after the Tulsa loss. You know, he didn't really have like a frown on his face. Just sort of.
No.
He was
not really,
playing around with the
like
band, throwing up the OSU.
Right. He doesn't seem like the contrite type. So that I'm going to do this. Let's make nice here and kissy face on my way out. So it's possible that they approached him again. I don't know. And said, how can we figure this out? Do you want to resign? Effectively, whatever. And he just says, no, you're going to have to fire me. I mean, that's one reason to explain why it is as unceremonious as it is. These things, like very few, who gets to go out on top? Saban gets to go out on top, right? But Bowden didn't really go out on top.
I get the sense that at Iowa, Ferentz may go out on top for whatever that, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah. Paterno certainly didn't go out on top, right?
Well, he could have, Jeff. But
we know how that
figured itself out.
There are other circumstances which are not relevant here. That's exactly right. Very few do, though, and so you know, you just wonder how it's. You just wonder now, like, and what's going to happen with Dabo?
Sure.
There, mostly it's believed that he will be able to do whatever he wants, partly because of the size of the buyout, partly because he has achieved at an even level, you know, considerably above. And whatever Gundy has done for Oklahoma State, Dabo has certainly done a lot more for Clemson. You know, Clemson just used to look back and pine for the Danny Ford year, you know, years.
Yeah.
And like, boy, weren't those the years. And everyone assumed they were over forever. And Dabo did what he did. I think he will get to write his own ticket, whatever his own ticket
right.
looks like. in a way that even Gundy did not.
Yeah, but Dabo's got to be careful, no? Because he can't keep doing what he did last week and delivering that same message through a 6-6 year. That's not going to play. That's not going to play well.
You can do what you did last week. You just can't then follow it up by doing what you did on Saturday.
Sure.
You know,
right.
That's the real problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't, and that team has a bunch of guys who are, I know, you know, portal, all that, but they've got about three guys who were projected to be top 15 NFL draft
correct.
Picks.
Correct. And Cade Klubnik would have been another. I mean, it's, right. And have I talked to you about the irony of it all with Clemson this year? Have we had that discussion?
The irony
of it is the last 5 years, we have sat there and said, this Clemson program's never going to be the same. Yeah, the ACC championships, they'll start to fade. The college football playoffs, they'll start to fade. They don't have the same talent. Dabo doesn't want to go in the transfer portal. They're not spending the same amount of money as the best teams in college football. But what have they done the last 5 years? Win 11, win 10, win 11, win 10, go to the college football playoff 3 out of 5, win the ACC same amount of times. And then this year we come into the season, we say, okay, well, you know what? They're number 4 in the preseason poll. That seems right. That seems correct. You have a returning quarterback. They're near the top of the ACC in the country in returning production. And I saw a lot of people in the preseason saying that team, even though I haven't believed in them the last 5 years, I think that team will win the national championship. And, of course, when we praise them in the preseason, they do this. Like, I just find that so ironic with how this is all – figured itself out. This felt like the best team since the Trevor Lawrence era. And now you're sitting at 1-3 with a nasty loss to Syracuse.
No, you're exactly right. This is the year when before the season began, everyone was saying, well, maybe Dabo was onto something. Maybe continuity matters. And then all of a sudden we're seeing what we're seeing. So you're exactly right. It was really quite a weekend. It was such a weekend that I normally play the fight songs of the teams that need to be celebrated, and I blow up one team. This time I did it the other way around. There's so many damn teams to blow up. Like, there's Wisconsin, just looks atrocious.
Yep.
Oklahoma State looks atrocious. Clemson looks atrocious. UNC, of course, looks atrocious. I mean, Arkansas, the flip side of the Memphis triumph. There are a lot of miserable fan bases from from this past weekend.
Hey, and real quick before I get back to and rewind to what Saturday was to this city, I wanted to throw this out at you. The top 7 transfer portal classes, according to 247, here are follows. LSU, yeah. Texas Tech, Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, Florida State,
wow.
Mizzou. What do you notice
Holy
about that in the top 7?
They're awesome.
They have zero losses. None of those teams have lost this year. Like,
that's
this idea about continuity, this idea behind, you know, bringing back guys still recruiting high school, it's sort of looking like a farce this year. It's looking like it doesn't work.
I brought that up earlier this year when I asked you, I think, if we're learning that what you should do is go get an experienced quarterback, you know, is that, you know, it's sort of the equivalent of once upon a time we thought in basketball you could rely on one and done, and now we realize no. We got to go get deeply experienced players. And you wonder now if that's the case. One of the things that to me is astounding is that, and this really does go to what happened with Memphis Saturday, was, you know, Ryan was talking about how, you know, there's no back down in this team doesn't quit, resilient, all of that. And what impresses me so much about it is, A, how you can even know that about this team when 70 players are new, right? And B, how you can, and this is totally to Ryan's credit, how you can instill that in a team, you know, like in a short period of time, like that, because I really felt like, I mean, the truth of the matter is there was every opportunity to give up Saturday. And let's be honest, there are Memphis fans out there who left.
Right.
And so, I totally would have understood. You're down 18. The onside kick isn't working. The double pass isn't working. But like, that to me, as much as anything, was what was impressive. And it's one of Ryan's, you look at the record that Ryan has at comebacks, whether it was against North Texas or whether it was against Mississippi State way back when, or whether this game, like, he gets players to hang in there, and he does it with a whole new cast. I think it's one of his superpowers.
Yeah, and know what's hilarious about that conversation about knowing that these guys, and instilling in these guys that there's no quit. The guy who has been on campus the least, Cortez Brohm, 7 catches, 101 yards, right, a touchdown, probably the most important play of the game. And then also on the other important play of the game, Sutton Smith's 64-yard touchdown, he was the one who sprung him free with downfield blocking. Like, that guy's been on campus for what, 1.5 months, 2 months? It's amazing. Yeah. It's crazy what has happened to college football and what has happened to the narratives. Like, they're being shattered.
Bracey, you take Bracey. Bracey played for UAB last year. You know, that's the other important play. I would argue that's the most important play. But whatever, we could take it. There's a guy who played for UAB last year who was starting earlier this season, didn't start Saturday, and comes up and makes this massive play. And you know, people objected because I in the headline, I used the word miracle. I also used the word heart. But it was kind of a miracle.
It's a bit of a miracle.
But it was intentional. It wasn't just like, oh, they dropped it. That was a great football play. He comes in and, you know, punches the ball out, doing exactly what you're supposed to do. It was, and again, these are a bunch of guys, as you point out. One of them has been on campus for a month, and the other one, you know, a lot of them have just arrived. It was really impressive.
Yeah. Now, Saturday, though, in general, I know the comeback, and we could talk about the game and the celebration afterwards, but it just felt like a celebration for the city. I know how corny that is. Whenever we have a big win in this city, we bring up the same thing. But it was on a day where we had the Fred Smith flyover and basically the day of remembrance for Fred Smith. I thought it was phenomenally done. And like what I've noticed too at that stadium, there's more juice. There's more energy. Like they had the horn after every touchdown.
Yeah.
They seem to be playing it up a whole lot more when you go to Seven Spank Liberty Stadium.
I do think it's a better show that they put on now. I mean, honestly, the video boards, but like, there's a lot of things that are becoming spruced up. And I think that is clearly, you know, you can see that, it's one of the nice things. I don't think when Ole Miss wins a game, they don't say this is big for Oxford, you know,
right.
It is big because it's really so it's one of the striking things about Memphis, and University of Memphis teams is, you know, forever when the Tigers have a massive win, this was true under Calipari. It was true with D'Angelo. It was true. People would talk about back when they went to the New Orleans Bowl, this is big for the city. And that is something that you don't normally associate with a college program. This is big for the city. You know, if Wisconsin ever wins a game again, they won't say it's big for Madison. You know what I mean? It's just a different relationship, and it's kind of cool. I mean, it really is, particularly without an NFL team here. It is the city's team. And so I do think it felt like it was big for the city. And it is also would be big, obviously, going forward, because, you know, that's the kind of game that if you lose it, it gives people an excuse to say, yeah, you know, come back when South Florida's in town or whatever, you know. But by winning it, what you hope is it generates excitement and reminds people that it's fun to go to these games and this team could do something special.
Yeah, and at what point, and I reference this stat all the time. I did it all last week. This team's not 6-0 against Power Conference teams at home since 2014, since this golden era started. Like, at what point does the Big 12 look at things like this and say, okay, it's time. It's time. You've shown enough. Now, the rest of the season, if they get in the college football playoff, that it may take care of itself, right? But, like, at what point do you look at their record against Power Conference opponents? And we go to the two Liberty Bowls as well. They're 7-1 in that stadium against Power Conference opponents. Like, at what point do you look at that and say, this team's ready to compete. This team has a decent fan base. They're ready to go. Like, I know that that's sort of secondary to what happened on Saturday, but for me, that's where my mind goes every time something like this happens for this program.
Oh, I think there's no question. I mean, I think it's what Ed Scott says. All you could do is just keep proving yourself again and again and again. I don't think it helps that the Houstons and Cincinnati's and UCF's didn't exactly set the world on fire when they've been to Big 12. But here's the thing. because this is, quote unquote, the city's team in a way that, for example, University of Cincinnati is not, I've always believed that not only is Memphis effective against power teams now, given the limited resources that they have, I just think, I've always thought this, that if they were ever given a seat at the table, that they would unleash, you know, even more and be more competitive and you know, and more resources, more fans. Can you imagine if you had a Big 12 schedule
right
every Saturday coming into that stadium?
What bothers me is that's seemingly going forward, because I'm sure you saw the ACC news. They're going to 9 games. SEC's right. Going to 9 games. Big 12 has to play a certain amount of power conference teams every single year. Like, you just look at the way things are going, like opportunities like we had on Saturday in the city, like, that's not going to happen anymore going forward.
Totally dwindling. No, I wrote about that last week, that it's just, I don't know that there will, you know, whatever. Mississippi State is still scheduled to play a game in the future at Simmons Bank Stadium, but that's the last one that's scheduled. And, you know, it's not just in fairness, like a lot of people will say, well, it's because Memphis wins these games. That's not all, you know, a big part of it really is that they only have 2 dates, because they're going to have 9 conference games and they're going to have another one against the power four team. And so they're going to want home gates. They just are. They're going to want home gates, and they're going to want patsies that you can totally beat and play your fourth string quarterback. So, and Memphis isn't either of those things. Like, Memphis needs, if Memphis, you know, is going to have a series with any of these teams, they need some home games out of it. And so it just feels like, as much fun as Saturday is, it may be the last of its kind, right, or close to the last of its kind.
Unless they get into a power conference.
Right? Unless they can get into a power conference.
That's it.
And all you can do is, all you can do is just keep winning, keep raising money, keep winning. I mean, there's literally nothing else to do.
You know, I just, you know what stinks though, Jeff? Is there a bar? You know, like, how much more winning?
Absolutely not a bar.
Like, at some point, like, I like having, you know,
no, there's no
certain,
bar. There's
certain,
no bar.
Certain bars to reach, and there just isn't one.
Well, and the other thing is that it is there's never been a bar, and to the extent there's anything, it's a scale, right? And so the problem is, you can say, well, if you win 10 games, if you go to the, you know, if this many years in a row, if you go to the playoff or whatever it is, but then here's the other things that they put on the scale. They put, how big is your city, or how big is your, you know,
sure,
like Central Florida gets in because they're perceived to be, you know, a bigger, more promising market, right? So it's not just wins and losses or what goes on the scale, some whatever perceptions are that people, negative perceptions are that people have, undefined, by the way, negative perceptions that people have about Memphis go on the scale. And so you like to think, if you can check the box of, we're going to be a Carnegie Level 1 research institution, we did that, boom. We're going to, you know, go to the Cotton Bowl, we did that, boom. We built a new stadium, we did that. But there's no checklist. No one's given you a checklist. If there were, then you could check the boxes.
Yep.
Which they have.
Yep, they have. They have. All right, now, what? I know you're a normal sort of doom and gloom, pessimistic guy when it comes to sports teams. How does the 35.1% chance to make the college football playoff attached to Memphis's name in the ESPN Football Power Index, how does that make you feel? Like, where are you at?
I think that's about right. Like, I mean, it's funny. Like, John points out that the gambling sites still have Memphis as the third favorite to win the conference. I haven't seen enough of Tulane. I didn't see any of the Ole Miss game, honestly. So I haven't seen
enough
of Tulane. I've seen big parts of 2 South Florida games. It seems to me that I can argue that those teams are basically on the same level as Memphis, I would think, you know, whatever. But you got Memphis, got them both at home. So yeah. I don't understand why Memphis would not be the favorite. And the good news is, whatever the betting markets say, the narrative, the people who write the narratives, they're all writing about Memphis now. It's one of the advantages of that. One of the benefits of that win Saturday is that everywhere you turn, it's Memphis, you know, Memphis, Memphis, Memphis. Memphis looks like they're now the favorite, whether the betting favorite or not. And so
it is kind of wild, like, how quickly it changes though in the group of six. Yeah. USF has it for a couple of weeks. They lose to Miami. Well, lose it's again. Gone. Old Dominion wins. They're back up. And then you have Memphis beating Arkansas, and it's immediate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Immediately into overdrive, hyperspeed.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, now, here's the thing. I mean, tell me if you agree with me. Ryan was asked, is this the biggest one of his tenure? And he wouldn't commit, right?
Right.
I would argue, honestly, that when the other wins, the biggest wins happened, which I would count as Florida State, Mississippi State, and Central Florida, when those happened, those may have even been bigger than this one. In other words, I remember the thrill of coming back to beat Central Florida.
Yeah.
Like that was the team you couldn't beat. That was massive. Beating Florida State, your old coach at Florida State. That was massive. Beating Mike Leach early on right. in his tenure. That was massive. We diminish those games now in our memories because we know what happened, right? Like none right. of those, they didn't lead to the dream season no. that people would have hoped. I think this one may not be, actually, if I'm going to put it up, I don't think necessarily quite, and it's whatever, pick and choose. Maybe sure. it's the same. The difference here is that this one hasn't been followed by a loss.
Yes, like so that, that's the difference. I agree with your line of thinking. The only difference here now, this is the first time where you've gotten that win and you've immediately put yourself at the peak and the top of the group of six and everybody's talking about college football playoff for you. And I guess last year, going into the preseason, that thought was there. But this is the first time where you've played games and you look at the team and you say, oh, this is really on the table. This is there for the taking. They control their destiny the whole way.
Well, let's be clear. It's very – there was – back when they beat Central Florida and I think even Mississippi State, there was no path to a playoff.
Right.
Right? There wasn't a – so it's different that way. I do remember after the Florida State game last year, I wrote that exactty thing. I wrote all things are possible. Like, I think Memphis was the favorite at that point, and we didn't know how stinky Florida State was. We had some inkling, but we didn't know for sure.
We didn't know they were going to win two games.
Right. We didn't know how bad they were. But I do think at that point last year, we thought this is a dream season. We came into the season thinking this is a dream season, and then you go beat Florida State in Tallahassee. That, to me, looked like the dream season. And then it didn't become that. And so, I mean, obviously the challenge is to do something now that you haven't done before. I think this team looks equipped to do it. And one of the reasons is that running game isn't going to go anywhere. Like Sutton Smith, by the way, big day on Fred Smith Day, big day for the Smith family
yes, yes.
that day. Sutton Smith is tremendous. And I'm not the offensive line expert you are, but I think this offensive line looks pretty damn good too.
Yes, and they're running a lot more schemes that they've never been able to before. I mean, I'm watching them run quarterback power, quarterback lead. You couldn't do that with Seth. You
no.
couldn't do that with Brady at the very beginning of right. Brian's tenure. You know what I mean? Like that's something that I don't think teams have a book on yet. They're going to have to learn that along the way, and I think that favors Memphis. That's a good thing for them to have in their disposal.
Now, will they? Was the first half Brendan Lewis what you're going to? You know that
yeah.
Was
yeah. That was missing
ugly,
a lot of throws.
But that was, you know, Ryan called that nerves. You know, and so if and obviously second half we saw a different player. So you need second half to show up going forward.
Yeah, and then real quick, American Conference pretty good. six wins. I was it David Cobb who told me yesterday, six wins over power four opponents. I think it is David or somebody told me yesterday, the last 5 years they haven't combined to have they've combined to have six wins over power conference opponents. So this year seems to be a different American Conference than it has been the past few years.
Built to soar, baby.
Yeah.
Built to soar. I think I
should we give soar the eagle gets
yeah,
a lot of
soar
credit.
The eagle. That's all you needed. All you needed was an eagle mascot.
Yeah. So Tim Pernetti he may have known what he was doing by bringing soar along.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's
we'll
possible.
See. We'll see. Well, Jeff, appreciate it, man.
See you.
He is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian Columnist. Also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because, one, you get more choices. They have a large collection and selection of natural lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. But even more than that, they make custom designing your engagement ring and buying it risk-free and easy. You will have peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. You can buy your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You have 365 days to return it. I mean, 365 days. If something goes wrong, if you guys break up, hope that doesn't happen. If she wants something new, guess what? You bring it in, full refund, and you can start from scratch. You can also have it your way. You bring in a picture or a drawing. You can bring in a drawing, and they can make that one-of-a-kind engagement ring come to life. They have free ring sizing for life. You gain or lose some weight, they can handle that for you. They have free jewelry spa service for life. They can keep that jewelry bright and sparkling like the day that you bought it. And always remember, they have great financing options. Ask her now and pay later with financing options like a 24-month deferred interest, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Howie and his team over at Robert Irwin Jewelers have been doing this for 4 decades. They have a bunch of experience. There's no dumb questions. Again, risk-free and easy at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Two locations in the Little Rock area at the McLean Mall, North Little Rock, and the Diamond Showroom in the Pleasant Ridge Town Center next to the Fresh Market. But they also have locations, again, here in Memphis. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Or online at rijewelers.com. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we'll get to a trip around the National Football. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. All right, now, while everybody's worried about the tush push and whether to ban it or not with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Rams kicker, Joshua Cardy, has debuted a new style of kickoff that takes advantage of the new kickoff rules, the dynamic kickoff rules. He's perfected a knuckleball squib kick that is giving a lot of teams trouble. He did it the entire second half against the Eagles. But with this knuckleball squib kick that he lands in the landing zone just about every single time, the Rams actually lead the National Football League in opponent starting field position. Opponent's average starting field position against the Rams is on the 21-yard line. Next closest is the 25-yard line, and that's the Carolina Panthers. So this is something interesting to watch, and we know that this is a league that mimics, you know, things that are working. So I wonder if there's other kickers that are going to start following Joshua Cardy and kicking off a knuckleball. How about this, Jackson Dart? As I called for yesterday, because I don't need to see Russell Wilson start another game for the New York Giants. The Giants are planning to start rookie Jackson Dart on Sunday versus the Chargers. Now, he's going to have a really tough go of it, I think, in the first few weeks. He's got the Eagles twice in the next 6 weeks. He's got the Chargers. I think the 49ers are in there. So he's going to have some good defenses that he's going to have to reckon with. But I think this is the right move. He looked good in the preseason. Russell Wilson looks like absolute garbage. I don't need to see him behind center anymore. Throw the rookie in there. Let him get his feet wet. Couple of things with the Bucs that I have to mention. Mike Evans is going to miss 3 to 4 weeks with a strained hamstring. That's massive, big target. But Chris Godwin could be on the mend here relatively soon, so they may get back a guy while Mike Evans is on the shelf for a second. But Today, the Bucks signed back to their practice squad a guy by the name of Desmond Watson. Connor, do you know who Desmond Watson is? 450-pound defensive tackle from Florida, right?
Sounds familiar.
I don't even know if I could call this a conspiracy theory or if this is what they're actually going to do. You know who they play this week? Philadelphia Eagles. What do the Philadelphia Eagles do?
Tush push.
450-pound D-tackle being signed back the week that they play the Eagles? I don't think that's a coincidence. Could you imagine him and Vita Vea sitting in there as the line of defense against the tush push? I think that may be successful, but we're going to have to see what the Bucks do. But I found that interesting. It's something to pay attention to as the week goes along. So the Dolphins play Monday Night Football this week. There's going to be a doubleheader, but they will be playing the Jets, and they're going to debut their new black uniforms. I want to ask you, Connor, since you have seen them, Adam Schefter posted them earlier today. I need a uniform review. Let's go 0 being the worst, 10 being the best.
I'm going to put them at about an 8.
I have them at a 10. I think these are phenomenal uniforms. I know that the Dolphins have never gone with the black before. Obviously, I lean to the black uniforms because at the University of Memphis, I love the black uniforms because they're slimming. You know what I mean? I was an offensive lineman. I need to be slimmed down, look good a little bit. But I do really enjoy those uniforms. I can't wait to see them sort of in action as we get to Monday Night Football. The Houston Texans, after 3 games, have released C.J. Gardner-Johnson, their safety, who they restructured his contract after being traded over from the Eagles. Seems like Howie Roseman knows what he's doing, the GM for the Eagles, because it was being reported that C.J. Gardner-Johnson was perpetually unhappy through 3 weeks with the Texans, which led to his ultimate release. So the Texans ended up paying him $7.3 million for the first 3 games for just those 3 games. Howie Roseman felt this coming. He knew what was going on, but apparently C.J. Gardner-Johnson said he didn't blitz enough. He was blaming teammates. There was a big play on Sunday where he turned around when it was clearly his fault. Let a guy get behind him. He's a free safety. Let a guy get behind him for a skinny post. He had to chase it down. He tackled it out inside the 5. Then he turned around and blamed the rest of his team for that play happening. This was something that was building within the Texans locker room, but still feels getting a return for C.J. Gardner-Johnson if you're the Eagles. Howie Roseman is still doing it better than anybody else. Terry McLaurin's out, but he's looking for second opinions on his quad. He has a quad strain. They want to see what he can do to get back on the field, but he will be out for an extended period of time is what it's looking like at this particular moment. We will have more updates throughout the rest of the week on him, especially as it pertains to your fantasy team, because I know a lot of people probably drafted him early and figured he was going to have a big year. But that quad issue, whenever you're getting a second opinion, probably not a good sign. Probably means it's going to last for a little bit, and he'll be off the field for a little bit. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll keep you up to date on that. But that will do it for a trip around the National Football League. We need to get to small talk next, and I have a blind resume to pose. It has to do with quarterbacks in the National Football League. A blind resume to pose to one Connor Dunning on the other side. Stick around for that. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. We're going to do a little blind resume today. Player A and player B. All right, Connor, the exercise is when I give you the stats, you tell me which player or quarterback, it's a quarterback, which quarterback you want, quarterback A or quarterback B. Simple enough?
Simple enough.
All right, both quarterbacks are 3-0, so that's a wash. Quarterback A has 111 passer rating to quarterback B's 108. Quarterback A has a 71% completion percentage to quarterback B's 69%. Quarterback A has 6 total TDs. Quarterback B has 7. And then quarterback A has 871 total yards to quarterback B's 869. Neither of these quarterbacks have a turnover. Which one are you picking?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Which one had the more yards?
A.
And the higher completion percentage?
A.
Then I guess I would go with A.
Quarterback A, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. We got him. Quarterback A is Daniel Jones. Quarterback B is Josh Allen, baby. Let's go.
Who have they
Indiana
played?
Indiana Jones.
Who have they played?
They played the Broncos. Broncos are on that schedule.
And?
Come on. Don't make me say Titans.
Yeah.
Don't make me say
thank
Titans.
You. And the case is closed.
No, it's
and
not.
And the case
closed.
Is closed. I'm not
Put
giving
some respect
them.
And
listen,
admiration
listen. We talked
on
about
Indiana
this already.
Jones' name.
Listen, we talked about this already. I said, if he can pick up some big wins, I'll call him Indiana Jones.
Broncos 29-28 come from behind.
You want me to give this man credit for beating the Dolphins and the Titans?
Oh, you're just going to leave out the Broncos. Unreal.
Oh, okay, so two terrible teams, and then the Broncos, who are
alliteration. Two
decent.
Terrible teams.
Two terrible teams, though. I said, if he can go into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs, then maybe we could have a conversation.
See,
if he can go into L.A. and beat the Rams next
Wait,
week,
listen,
maybe
okay,
we'll have a conversation.
Okay,
if he can go into
Bills win over the Ravens, okay. All right?
Uh-huh.
We'll compare Daniel Jones' best win over the Broncos. The Bills have played the Jets and the Dolphins outside of that.
Okay. And they both have good numbers. That's my point. You've got to beat a good team to earn Indiana Jones.
You picked him. You picked him.
Because I'm an honest man. Because I'm an honest man.
You picked quarterback A, and that was Daniel Jones.
That doesn't mean I have to call him Indiana Jones.
You picked Daniel Jones over Josh Allen.
In court, this would be entrapment. In court, it would be thrown out of court.
Well, we're not in court.
It'd be thrown out of court.
This is the Gabe Kuhn Show court. All right?
I have stated numerous times, if he beats real people and is able to maintain these numbers, then I will consider it. His first test is going to be in L.A.
Ladies and
this
gentlemen,
week.
We got him.
I don't think you did.
We got him.
I don't think you did.
We got him.
I don't think you did.
Everyone knows it. Everyone
I don't
knows
think they
it,
do.
Gunner. Everyone knows it.
Daniel Jones has been
Daniel
a stats
Jones
merchant for most
Allen.
Of his career. When he can start racking up the wins with quality opponents, then maybe I'll consider. But that is a sacred
stats
nickname
merchant?
That you do not get in 3 weeks
Did
in Indiana.
Did you call Daniel Jones a stats merchant?
A bit of... yes!
He's,
had,
no,
he's
he,
empty
he's
stats!
He's never had good stats.
He's empty... Yes, he has!
Not really! I mean, let's go through it. That's not... It hadn't really been that great. Even the year that they went to the playoffs, he didn't have great stats.
I feel like you're making my
over.
Argument for me now. Why would I call this man Indiana Jones?
Because he's been phenomenal. He's been great.
He's been good against terrible competition outside of one team. The Titans and the Dolphins are maybe the two worst teams in the NFL. And I'm supposed to give him Indiana Jones status?
I mean, Josh Allen, it's Jets and Dolphins.
Josh Allen's won an MVP!
Okay, true. That's fair. But either way, I think I won today. I got
I
you to pick Daniel Jones' resume.
I think that
over
my case
Josh
is
Allen's
the same as it was.
Resume in 2025, in the year of our Lord 2025, Connor... In all honesty, pick Daniel Jones' resume over Josh Allen's. And I don't blame him one bit. Don't blame him
I'm
one bit.
I'm an honest man.
Hour number three is headed your way next. Christian Fowler will.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.